Jonah, chapter 98. The city of Joppa, which is in the land of Canaan, lies on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. It is a seaport city. A ship lies in the dock, ready to leave. The seamen already have loaded the ship. Only a few things must be put in order, and they will sail out of the harbor into the open sea. The goods which they have laden into the ship must be brought to Tarshish, likewise a large seaport city. A man runs hastily to the ship at the last moment. He asks nervously and as though he is being pursued, "Is there still room for me?" He is a stranger. They do not know him. The seamen of this ship are not Israelites. Most likely they are inhabitants of the city of Tyrus, thus heathens. The Israelites were no seamen, but the inhabitants of Tyrus and Sidon were. This stranger pays the fee for the voyage and steps aboard the ship, which quietly bobs up and down with the waves. A short time later, the gangplank is taken in. The ropes are loosened and the ship is soon floating on the waves of the Mediterranean Sea. Who is this stranger? He is an Israelite, a prophet of Israel's God. But why is this prophet so nervous and flustered? He is fleeing. Fleeing? From whom? Do not startle, boys and girls. He is fleeing from God. He is Jonah, one of the prophets who lived in the days of Jeroboam the second. You know that even though the Lord had greatly blessed his people and had sent many warnings by his servants, the prophets, the Israelites still would not serve the Lord, but they continued to live worshiping the golden calves. Prophets foretold and that the time would come when Israel would be carried away as captives by a great and mighty kingdom. That mighty kingdom would be Assyria. In those days, Assyria became a mighty nation and continued to become mightier. Assyria lay further away than Syria. The kings who reigned over Assyria brought their country into prosperity and honor. The capital of Assyria was Nineveh, a large city, a metropolis. Jonah knew that his nation would be carried away captive by Assyria. All this gave him much grief, for he loved his nation and people greatly. He earnestly warned the Israelites. He often prayed to his God for them. One day the Lord spoke to him and said, "Jonah, go to Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, and preach against her. Tell her she will be destroyed after 40 days. The inhabitants of that city are too wicked. I shall lay her in ruins." Boys and girls, no doubt you will think Jonah will be happy to go, because if Nineveh is laid in ruins, the strength of that nation is broken, and Assyria would not be able to carry away the Israelites into captivity. The children of Israel would be able to remain in their own land. Jonah should have been glad with this mission. However, he is not. Absolutely not. And he has no intentions to go. But why doesn't he? Isn't Jonah anxious that Nineveh should be destroyed? Wouldn't that be a great benefit to his nation? Yes, indeed, it would. And he desired that very much. Yes, he earnestly hopes that Assyria, that dreaded enemy, would be totally destroyed. Probably you are not able to understand a thing about it. The Lord gave Jonah the command to go to Nineveh. He must preach to the inhabitants of that city that Nineveh will be destroyed within 40 days. Instead of obeying gladly, he has no desire to go. Why doesn't he want to go? Jonah has no confidence in this mission. He is afraid that the inhabitants of Nineveh shall turn from their evil way. Oh, if that should happen, the Lord will not send the threatened punishment, for he knows that the Lord is long-suffering and patient. Should they repent, Nineveh will not be destroyed. Jonah hopes and wishes the Ninevites will not repent. He hopes they will become much more wicked, so wicked that God can no longer endure it, and that the Lord will wipe out Nineveh as he did Sodom and Gomorrah centuries ago. But if that is to be, then he must not preach to them. The punishment must come at the set time. The Ninevites must not be warned. They must not even have the opportunity to turn from their evil way. Therefore, Jonah is not willing to obey the command of the Lord, but flees. Nineveh lies to the east. He will go to the west. He will not warn the Ninevites. He makes other plans and steps aboard a ship which will bring him to Tarshish. Isn't that dreadful? Oh, Jonah, do you really think you can flee from the Lord? Isn't the Lord in all places? The ship sails over the wide sea. Softly the waves ripple against the sides of the ship. The seamen are not busy, for the sea is smooth and calm. Far in the distance they still can see the houses of Joppa, from which harbor they have just set sail. They enjoy this beautiful sight. The stranger, who is sailing with the seamen, has gone to the bottom of the ship. He is sleeping restfully, and the seamen let him sleep. They do not disturb him. This stranger is Jonah, the prophet of the Lord, who refuses to go to Nineveh. Instead, he flees to Tarshish. He went below as soon as he entered the ship. He preferred to be all alone. Jonah has no peace in his heart. How can he? He knows and feels that he is doing wrong, but still, he will not submit. He will not warn Nineveh of the coming destruction. He sits dejectedly, staring into space. Finally, he falls into a deep sleep. He is tired from thinking, brooding, and worrying. Fighting against the Lord is no easy thing, children. Do you ever do it? Suddenly, a violent gust of wind whistles past the ropes of the ship. Soon, another gust of wind comes, and the water of the sea begins to churn threateningly. The clear sky becomes overcast with heavy clouds. The wind begins to blow more violently. The sea becomes more turbulent, and the waves beat against the ship with greater force. Seamen look at each other. Their faces are serious. The wind howls and roars through the ropes and past the mast of the ship. The sea churns and foams. Enormous waves hit against the ship, causing the ship to crack. Oh, if this heavy storm continues much longer, the ship will sink, and everyone will drown in the waves of the Mediterranean Sea. The seamen are afraid, and they never went through a storm like this. They cast the cargo overboard into the sea, so the ship would not lie so deep in the water. Still, the tempest grows in violence. In agony of death, the heathen seamen fall upon their knees, and everyone cries unto his God. But to no avail, the hurricane continues to rage. Dripping wet from the seawater, the seamen toil and do what they can. Their lives are in danger. Jonah lies below, in the bottom of the ship, still fast asleep. He hears nothing of the roaring of the storm and feels no violent casting about of the ship. He sleeps, while at a moment he could drown. Suddenly the shipmaster awakens him. "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, and that we perish not," the captain says to the prophet. The captain cannot understand that anyone can sleep in such a storm. Jonah awakes and looks around in terror. He gets up and hurries to the deck. The seamen don't know what to do anymore. They say to each other, "Oh, this is no ordinary storm. This is a punishment from one God or another. We will cast lots, so we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." Jonah stands by in silence. His heart throbs violently. He knows he is the guilty one. If all these people would drown shortly, it would be because of his sin. In the meantime, the seamen cast the lot, and Jonah is taken. In amazement, every eye is directed upon this stranger. "Who are you, and from where do you come? What is the name of your country, and of what people are you?" they ask Jonah. The disobedient prophet of the Lord answers, "I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." When the seamen hear this, they are exceedingly afraid. Jonah tells them that he should have gone to Nineveh to preach there, but he also tells them that he had no desire to go, and now was fleeing to Tarshish from the presence of this mighty God. Silently the seamen listened, but afterward they ask him in terror, "What must we do? For the storm is increasing, and the sea is growing more and more tempestuous." Jonah answers immediately, "Cast me overboard. I am the cause of this great tempest. If you throw me into the sea, the storm will quiet down, and the sea will be calm." "What? Cast a servant of the mighty God overboard? Oh no, these heathen seamen dare not do that. They fear the wrath of Israel's glorious God. Their hearts are filled with respect and awe for this God, the God whom they know not. They row and row with all their might, and make an effort to bring the ship to land. They still would save Jonah from death. But all their efforts are in vain. They cannot do it. They are continually pushed back by the turbulent waves. Finally, in dire distress, when they see no other way out of their calamity, they take Jonah and cast him into the raging sea. At this very moment, the wind ceases, and the sea becomes calm. The danger is past, their lives are spared. They look at each other with a look of alarm on their faces. This God is a mighty God. Their gods cannot do that. They realize that the God of this stranger is the commander of the wind and the waves. You read in the Bible that these men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they brought a sacrifice unto the Lord. They did this out of respect and esteem. What happened in the meantime to Jonah? To Jonah, of course, he sank in the sea, for no one would be able to deliver him. No one? Yes, there is one who could. God can do what man cannot. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. At the same moment that Jonah disappeared in the waves, a big fish swam just at this very spot, and this fish swallowed the disobedient prophet. We read in the Bible that the Lord prepared this fish, which means that God caused this fish to swim by this ship, so that Jonah came into the water exactly in front of the wide open mouth of this gigantic fish. A moment later, Jonah is in the stomach of this fish, but nothing else is wrong with him. He still is alive. There he is shut up, as if in a very small prison, and there, in the belly of this fish, Jonah begins to think about what he has done. There he confessed to the Lord his sins and disobedience. Oh, it would be righteous if he would die a miserable death there. A sigh rises up to God out of the terrified heart of Jonah. Yes, more than a sigh, he prays to God, and the Lord hears that prayer. A heavenly peace enters his soul. He believes that God will help him. He believes that he will not die, but that he again will return to his own land. Read what he says. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. God thinks upon his sinful servant. God remains the eternal faithful one. The Lord surely is good for Jonah. He remained in the belly of this fish for 3 days and three nights. Still, he did not die there. God preserved him. The Lord kept him there in a wonderful way. Some people say, that cannot be. That is absurd and nonsense. That is a lie. They laugh about this nice Bible story, and they mock with it. Boys and girls, never let these unbelieving people bring you into confusion. It is no lie, indeed not. It really did happen. Is there anything too hard for the Lord to perform? Isn't God almighty? Jonah is a type of the Lord Jesus. As Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, so also the Lord Jesus lay 3 days and three nights in the grave. However, now that Jonah is in the fish, how will he come out? Very easily. Read what is written in God's word. The Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. This fish did not vomit Jonah out in the middle of the sea, for then he still would have drowned. No, Jonah was vomited out upon dry land, on the shore. He stands up and goes away. God's ways are wonderful, aren't they? The large city of Nineveh lies approximately in the center of the Assyrian kingdom. It is far from the land of Canaan. More than 500,000 people live in this city. A high, wide wall surround this city, and heavy gates which are shut at night, and take care that no enemy can enter into it. Watchmen stand guard day and night from many towers on top of the walls. Within the city itself, the Assyrian kings have built magnificent palaces. Beautiful gardens are joined to them. The most delicious fruits grow in these gardens, and the prettiest flowers give forth their fragrance. It is a city of pomp. Nineveh is so large that a traveler requires 3 days to walk around it. The gates stand open in the daytime. It is exceedingly busy there. Wagons ride to and fro. Horsemen leave the city or enter it. Every day, travelers, merchantmen, and pedestrians go back and forth through the heavy, strong gates. Look, amid all those people, a foreigner also enters the city. Because of his strange, unusual clothing, he immediately draws everyone's attention. No, he is no merchant. He wears a long white garment, girded with a leather belt. He is the prophet Jonah. So, did Jonah finally go? Yes, after his wonderful deliverance, the Lord spoke to his servant the second time. Listen. Arise, go unto Nineveh and preach unto it, says the godly command by renewal. Jonah could not refuse. He went. As he walks through the streets of this Assyrian capital, he shouts his message. Let us listen to what it is. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. It is not a long message. Jonah continually cries the same words, and this melancholy threat rings out through the city. The Assyrians see him walking. They stand still to listen. But when they hear what this foreigner cries, a terrified, anxious expression comes upon their faces. They talk about it with each other and ask, could it be true? A strange unrest takes hold of them. Everyone within the city becomes disturbed. The king also hears it. He fears and trembles. He believes the words of this strange prophet. Nineveh is a large city, but it is also a very wicked city. The king knows this too. He gets up and leaves his expensive throne. He takes off his royal robes and clothes himself in sackcloth. That is a sign of humiliation and mourning. He gives command that neither man nor woman, child nor old person may eat or drink anything. They even may not give their cattle any provender. Man and beast must call and cry to the God of Israel. They must ask him for forgiveness and leave their wicked ways of sins. Who can tell? The king of Nineveh says. Who can tell? Probably God will answer our prayers. Probably the punishment will not come. Probably Nineveh will be spared. Now you must not think that the inhabitants of Nineveh had true upright repentance over their sins, and that they received new hearts. Oh no, they only were converted outwardly. It was because of fear of the punishment and nothing else. And God heard the cry of these heathen Assyrians. God saw that they humbled themselves. and changed their ways outwardly. The Lord heard and answered them. The punishment did not come, because they believed the words of Jonah and humbled themselves before Israel's God. God spared Nineveh, so that the city was not destroyed. This is a serious warning for us too. Children, do you believe the preaching of God's servants? God is pleased to warn us too. Believe it. Otherwise, one day you will stand ashamed over and against the heathen Assyrians, who did believe God's warning message and humbled themselves upon Jonah's preaching. A man is sitting outside of Nineveh, staring dejectedly before him. He continually shakes his head. He is grieved and angry. This man is Jonah. He noticed that the Ninevites believed that word of the Lord. He saw that they humbled themselves. Therefore, he was grieved. Oh, Jonah, you are so sinful and wrong. You should not be grieved about that. Instead, you should be glad. Isn't it a blessing they listened to your preaching? Wasn't that the purpose of your preaching? But Jonah is not glad. Oh, no. He doesn't grant this to the Assyrians. Oh, if Nineveh is spared, then his people and Samaria, the capital of his nation, shall be destroyed and conquered. No, that must not be. Samaria must be spared, and Nineveh must be destroyed. That would be good, and then Jonah would be glad. However, Jonah is angry too. Angry at the Lord. I thought this would be the result, he mumbles, and for that reason I fled to Tarshish. I knew thou, Lord, art merciful, gracious, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Why am I still alive? It is better for me to die than to live. Angry and discouraged, he stares into space. It is not only because the Assyrians were spared, but also later they will laugh him to scorn, because what he had preached did not come to pass. Children, Jonah is afraid of his own honor. He will not give God the honor due him. But God also is gracious and merciful toward Jonah. The Lord hears this complaining and murmuring of his servant, and he asks, "Doest thou well to be angry?" It is as though the Lord says, "Jonah, why are you so angry? Do you have a reason for it?" Jonah continues to sulk. He sits in the burning hot sun and waits. For what is he waiting? Ah, he still hopes that God will destroy Nineveh. Then he will have his way. When the sun finally goes down and it becomes dark, Jonah falls asleep. The following morning he awakens, and his first look is toward the city. Yes, it is still the same as yesterday and the day before. But to his great surprise, he notices a large tree with branches and leaves behind him. This tree grew in one night. The Bible calls this tree a gourd. Nonsense, some so-called learned people say. That is impossible. No, that is not nonsense. We read, "The Lord God prepared a gourd." Again, we read the word prepared. Take notice to that. Jonah is very happy. The heat does not trouble him so much, for the thick foliage keeps the rays of sunshine from him, and he sits peacefully in the shade. The day passes by quickly. When night comes again, he falls asleep under this tree. But the following morning, this tree is dead. The leaves are off. Only the bare branches remain. That night, a worm came and chewed the roots so that this tree withered. The word prepared stands written for the third time. This story is full of wonders of God. This tree grew in one night and withered in one night. Jonah thinks it a pity. He again begins to complain. Listen to his words. Why can't that tree remain alive? Why? Why did it die just at this time? I was so glad with it. In the meantime, the sun rose higher. It becomes warm, very warm, and a vehement east wind blows. The sun burns upon the head of Jonah. It is almost unbearable for him. It is better for me to die than to live, he complains. Again, the Lord comes to him with the question, Doest thou well to be angry? Jonah answers angrily, Yes, I do well to be angry. I have reasons. Why did this gourd wither so soon? Oh, I want to die. Why am I still alive? Isn't Jonah impudent towards the Lord? The Lord is long-suffering, for he answers, Jonah, you are angry because this gourd withered so soon. Still, you did not labor on this tree. It came in one night, and it died in one night. You would have liked to spare that tree. Shouldn't I then spare that great city Nineveh? More than 120,000 children live in that city. Thousands of cows, sheep, and other cattle live there. Must I spare a tree and destroy such a great city? Boys and girls, Jonah should have shamed himself. He was cruel and also wrong. Jonah wanted to know better than the Lord. How foolish! But don't we also do the same as Jonah sometimes? Don't we also have hatred and envy in our hearts at times? We sometimes wish a curse upon our enemies, don't we? Who of us dare deny this? This history stands in the Bible to warn us against these things.